This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first half hour, my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini, will be answering a question proposed by one of the listeners about test charge being used by teenagers. And then we're going to change it up and be joined by Professor Elizabeth Long from Ohio State University to talk about the fact that bees are being harmed by more than just crop-sprayed chemicals. This new study shows. So, without further ado, I play his music.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Dr. J.
Carl, how you doing, buddy?
Supplement Santa.
Or they're now calling me the Sup Doc.
The Sup Doc. Hey, what's up, Doc?
Yeah, sup, I thought that's cool, too.
I like that. What's up, Doc? Anyway, yeah. This question was posed by Jorge Padilla. I believe that was his name. Let's see if I'm right about that. And my memory actually works sometimes. Yes, Jorge Padilla. He said, yes. Is test charge by EFX Sports safe for a 19-year-old to use?
Yeah, you know, that was an interesting question, which obviously, you know, opens the whole testosterone thing. But I'll first kind of answer that question and say, is it safe? Yes. Do you need it? No. folks, if you are a teenager, the last thing you need is any more testosterone. Your testosterone is already at full production. So these testosterone boosters are not designed for you. Jorge, see you spend your money on, you know, proteins, good foods, you know, crealins and carbohydrates and things, you know, so don't jump after these testosterone boosters.
So, well let's talk about this for a second. Let's expand on this, right? There's lots of different testosterone boosters out there. Some of them are herbal in nature, and they're supposed to mimic luteinizing hormone. I speak of Tribulus, which made it into the news recently. Some of them are actually hormonal in nature, like the aromatase inhibitor types. And then there's Taxadrol, which is in test charge, which is completely different. So I want to just talk about this for a second. You cool with that?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
All right. The hormonal based ones, the estrogen blockers and stuff like that, you got to be careful of those if you're a young guy. You don't want to be fooling with raising or lowering hormones and disrupting that natural cascade that occurs, number one. Number two, Tribulus comes around every so often with a study that says it works, and then it's followed by a study that says it doesn't work. But the bottom line about Tribulus is it's supposed to mimic luteinizing hormone. Once again, this is a hormone that's supposed to boost testosterone production. Taxadrol is completely different. Taxadrol is actually a phytoandrogen, is it not?
Correct. You know, and again, it's a very interesting compound. As you and I both know, you know, for years, as we get older in those years, we're always looking for ways to boost testosterone. And this was something that I personally was trying to accomplish. And I knew there had to be something out there better than what was on the market. Now, I'm not saying, you know, Tribulus is no good and, you know, Epimidium is no good. Those all have their places, but they just didn't actually raise testosterone levels. Mm-hmm. So, Carl, I started myself as the guinea pig. Trying all these different compounds, looking for different ways to extract them to see if I could get some effect, and I really didn't get any increase in testosterone. Well, I met a gentleman, boy, here in Montana, and he was harvesting some of this Montana Yule tip. And I say Montana because Yule tip can grow in some other regions, like China, but it's not Montana Yule tip. It's not the same species. This actually goes wild. It's undisturbed. It's so high up in the mountains that people don't even know where it is. I mean, it's a truck and a day to get there. But what I found was that it contained these natural, as I call them, steroidal saponins that worked with your body to actually elevate those natural levels. Now, it's quite a complex extraction process to put the whole thing together. But I had last year, you know, one of my studies was published in a very prestigious journal that talked about, you know, elevating testosterone levels. So pretty interesting stuff. Pretty fun.
So while it's not wise, while Taxadrol technically would be safe for a 19-year-old to use, he's not going to have any harm done to him. However, it's a waste of time because his testosterone levels are already at the peak of his lifetime. So,
and you know what?
Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, go ahead, go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, and, you know, that's kind of my warning to, you know, younger folks. You know, as you said, you don't want to be messing with your own body's natural production of testosterone. So, again, at that age, you don't want to be messing with, you know, anabolic steroids and things. You know, let your body's own testosterone levels do their thing. You know, grow naturally and get that good base, depending on what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the answer to the question. It's safe, but no, you don't need it.
Train, eat, sleep, and repeat. That's what you need. You don't need Taxadrol. You don't need Test Charge. Now, but let's talk about people who can use Test Charge. Testosterone levels drop once you hit about 30 years old, and they just keep on dropping year after year as we get older, right?
Well, they do. And, you know, I think it's become more open in the last several years where, you know, years ago, it was fine for women to talk about being hormonal, low estrogen, but, you know, men, that just was taboo. We didn't talk about it. And now, you know, that's come out. So what you have to realize is, as a male, it's going to happen. When it happens, it kind of depends. But like you said, it is about the age 30 is when I personally started to notice. It was until probably about 40-ish when, you know, I really started to feel that. And, you know, some of the symptoms I think you got to be aware of. The very first one is just a low sex drive. You know, that's one of the first things when you have a low libido that you notice. And a lot of times, you know, men will have a difficulty achieving erections and things. And again, that's part of that low testosterone. One of the bigger things is probably just fatigue, lack of energy.
Well, if and depression. I personally think, from personal experience, before I went on HRT, depression. If you feel like you wake up in the morning, you have no excitement about your life. You know, you're just kind of like moseying through the day.
Yeah, you have those mood changes that you're depressed, and that's what women go through. You know, sometimes we as men, you know, we don't understand that or we don't think it's real, but they go through the same type of things when, you know, they're approaching menopause. And again, it's just because of their hormones being unbalanced. And of course, you start losing muscle mass. I hear so many guys say, man, I just can't gain weight. I used to now gaining all this body fat. Well, again, you know, low testosterone levels increases your body fat. So there's those are kind of some of the common symptoms that men experience. Research, you know, doesn't say that, you know, having low testosterone, some says, you know, it's really not harmful. Other research says, you know, it could decrease bone mass. You could lose your hair, things of that nature. But I think, I don't know, what do you think? Is the jury still hung on whether or not it's dangerous or to have low testosterone?
Yes. No. There's absolute evidence that low testosterone is very, very dangerous. Contrary to two studies that came out 2 years ago that scared the bejeebers out of people about testosterone replacement, every single month a new study is published that shows that lower testosterone leads to heart failure, heart attack, diabetes. I mean, it's just low testosterone is not a good thing. I don't care what anybody tries to convince you. So yes, I don't think the jury is out. It's unequivocal. Low testosterone is a bad thing. Now, I know you're not a fan of HRT, right?
No, yeah, I'm not. And I think it's because, you know, as I openly talk about, the pharmaceutical industry, you know, I've got to keep it across the board, you know, and there are times in our lives where we have to go to the doctor, you know, for some ailment. But I'm not a fan, you know, when somebody sticks me on an antibiotic, I know what those side effects are going to be. But if it's crucial to fix a problem, then I'll have to fix the other problem. That's kind of my same issue, I think, with HRT, is I'm not against it. I'm against the fact that there's no education on a universal level. I'm against some of the dosages and some of the reasons that people are giving HRT. If I can use you as an example,
please.
Only because I have several friends that have been in the same category. I'm not educating people that, hey, when you get on HRT therapy, realize you've got 50-year-old tendons, but you're going to feel like you're 20 years old.
Right.
And you know what happens is you get into the gym, you feel good, you can do more, and you end up pulling something. And I've had, you know, like I said, three if not four people just in the last 3 months that have completely ripped something all from that.
Right.
And as you talk to them, it's like, well, did your doctor give you any warnings? Well, no, I mean, I knew about this. You know, maybe you did it when you were younger. But, yeah, there's a difference, you know, in your 20s. Same way with, you know, training or whatever you do. I mean, you know what you did.
I actually think that one of the studies that looked at the dangers of testosterone replacement, these were all men who had heart problems because the whole cohort had already received angioplasty and in some cases stints.
Mm-hmm.
And they were put on testosterone. And a number of them ended up having problems, heart attacks. And so they immediately blamed the testosterone. And what I said was, how do we know that these guys didn't feel this surge of life and energy and start doing things that they weren't prepared to do, like having sex or running up the stairs or thinking, you know, I haven't jogged in a long time and bang. So testosterone imparts a sense of well-being, a sense of happiness, a sense of I can do this. And sometimes you're not ready to do it.
No, and that's really what I'm talking about is no matter what drug, you know, a physician prescribes to you, and this is just another, you know, a drug to fix a problem. You know, we just happen to be talking about testosterone replacement therapy, but they don't give you any of that information. They don't say be careful. They don't say ease back into things.
Yes.
They go, here, this is going to make you feel good. And absolutely, you know, you feel better, you want to go run a marathon, so to say, but your body can't handle that. Even when I was a bodybuilder full time, and, you know, you took some time off of training, your programs, you had to realize when you started back, it would take 8 to 12 weeks to ease back into it. You just couldn't start right back up because you were going to get hurt. I never pulled a muscle. I never had one injury during my entire bodybuilding career other than just some lower back, which normally was, you know, just doing something stupid, you know, walking the wrong way or, but it was because of that, you know, you have to be able to be smart. You got to warm up. You got to know what your capabilities are. So again, I think that biggest issue, but again, you know, there are side effects with anything. So again, if you're considering, you know, HRT therapy, I think you need to look at the option. You know, realize there are products like Test Charge, ways that you can naturally boost your levels. And I always recommend try that first. And if it doesn't work, then you need to find a reputable doctor that will really monitor you and help educate you. Don't go to the gym or off the street because, first of all, it's illegal. Secondly, you've got no idea what you're getting into.
Right.
You know, you really want to have a doctor, you know, monitoring your levels and making sure that nothing crazy is going on, you know.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we take our break? And when we come back, we know that you really created Test Charge selfishly for yourself. So let's talk about how Test Charge actually works and the dose and what it does. How about that? So for those guys out there who are going, you know, maybe I do need to look at elevating testosterone. Maybe I need to start by trying Test Charge. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Science for Humans. Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports.
The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Nobel Prize-winning research shows telomeres are an important part of preventing cellular aging. Slowing down telomere shortenings promotes healthy cell replication and longevity. This is simple, folks. Supplement today with the longevity breakthrough of the century, Telos 95. Telos 95 provides the only scientifically validated telomere support ingredient in every capsule. Save 15% off when you use the code TELOS95. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Telos 95 banner ad. Age better with Telos 95, the cutting-edge technology that's a leap forward in the science of aging, with research that was conducted by world experts on telomere analysis using worldwide patented technology.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. So we're talking with Dr. Jeff Galini. This is Science for Humans. We're talking about elevating testosterone levels with an over-the-counter supplement called Test Charge. And the main ingredient is Taxadrol. And Taxadrol is basically a phytoandrogen found in a very, very unique form of pine tree, found in two places, in the mountains of Montana and in China. And that is where this this product is manufactured, too, in Montana. So with that being said, Dr. J, we know that you created this product selfishly because you wanted an alternative to HRT. So how do you use Test Charge? What does it do? What are doses like?
Well, you know, it was about a 3 or 4 year process. So it evolved from, you know, a single product into a kit because there's, you've got to take it at different dosages and at different times of the day and different deliveries. What I found early on was that I was able to get the testosterone level up, but then after about 5 weeks, elevated estrogen levels and testosterone started to decrease. So obviously it worked, but it didn't work long enough. So it was kind of a work in progress. What I've got together now, it's a three product kit. So the liquid Taxadrol, even though we can't sell it as a sublingual because that's a drug delivery, that's what it is. 30 seconds, it's in the blood, quick acting. So I have people take 100 milligrams of that in the morning. You know, first thing in the morning, 100 milligrams of that, you kind of kickstart. Then I've got the capsule version, which is a little bit slower acting, that you'll take about midday, and that's another 100 milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put together the anti-aromatase, which you take in the evening. And with that, you know, you can get on this kit for 30 days. Works very well. So I always recommend you do a two-month cycle. And then like anything, you should always take a little break. So I recommend a week off, although I take about a weekend off. But it just continues to work. Very, very effective.
Well
then,
first
like
of all,
you said, good for me.
The fact that you saw elevated estrogen tells you that it's working because men produce estrogen by siphoning off testosterone through the aromatase pathway.
Well, absolutely. That's kind of your body's defense mechanism is your body doesn't like to have much testosterone, so it's going to convert it to estrogen. So, yeah, it was interesting. And, you know, it's kind of crazy, you know, talking numbers and stuff, but my testosterone was about 40 or 50, which is, you know, way low.
Right.
And I maintain about 400. So very, very effective for me. And since it's been on the market, you know, thousands of other people have done real well with it. We've got a lot of clinics that are now buying it, an alternative to HRT, because some people aren't suitable for that drug. Like you said, if you've got heart problems, you have had blood clots in the past, things that, you know, there are some side effects. They're looking for some alternatives. So very, very, very effective.
Okay, so what did you notice when you first started taking it? I understand you did blood work, and that's how you determined that your estrogen levels mm-hmm. were elevating. But what did you notice? Did you notice a change in the way you felt?
You know, and even recently, I went off it for about 6 months just to see what would happen. And I'm just now coming back on. But, yeah, the first thing you feel is you're more alive. You know, you've got more energy. You don't need as much sleep. And, you know, that sense of well-being, as we say, you just feel overall good. When you go into the gym, this is where you got to be careful because within about 2 days, I mean, weights that you normally were using seem like a feather. So you have to be careful because your ligaments and tendons aren't ready to increase your strength.
Right.
Within a short amount of time, you know, within that 30-day, you know, again, I noticed that I'm a lot tighter, a lot harder. You know, body fat starts to decrease. My appetite increases. I can increase my caloric intake. So, again, all the things that reverse those side effects that typically happen. And, of course, increased libido. I mean, you know, that's one of the first things you notice the very first day. That's how quick it works.
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff. Now, you actually have a book, 20 Ways to Boost Your Testosterone Levels. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, so this is put out. Mr. Chad Shaw actually wrote it on our behalf, my behalf. And I think people forget that there are ways that you can boost your testosterone levels. And this book is absolutely free for anyone who'd like a copy. I'm not saying that this is the ends to all means, but again, you know, there are some good recommendations, like people don't know that, you know, excessive alcohol consumption, you know, there's testosterone, eating red meat. So, I mean, there's some very simple things, and there's some things that, you know, people might not have thought about. So, again, you know, if you want it for free, send me an email. You can go to the superhumanradio.com. Just look up scientist and ask me to send you the free copy, the 20 ways to boost your natural testosterone levels. And I'd love to give that to you and help you out.
So there you go, superhumanradio.com. Ask the scientist. We got a great question either yesterday afternoon or today from somebody that we have to answer about Carbolin. Did you see that long, well-written question about Carbolin?
You know, it came in right before I came to the studio. I saw that, so I had not actually read that all the way through yet.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one to answer, so we'll get to that. So there you go. Ask the scientists at SupremeRadio.com. Ask Dr. Jeff for the 20 tips on how to raise your testosterone naturally. Obviously, this is a benefit to us older guys. And there's no doubt about it. As testosterone goes down, quality of life goes down, and health issues go up. And don't let the mainstream try to dissuade you to anything Absolutely. Other than that, because it's true. And, of course, try Test Charge. It comes in a nice little box, a little kit. Comes with three different items that you take. And like Dr. J said, you'll notice a difference in a couple days. You'll know right away if you're a responder. There's got to be people out there who don't respond. Let's be honest. There's people out there who don't respond to pharmaceutical drugs. But
yeah,
if you're a responder, you're going to feel it in a couple days. You're going to go, holy mackerel. I can tell you this. The day when I went on HRT in 2007, it took me 2 weeks to start to really feel it. And I swear, I felt like somebody switched the lights back on in my life. My life was gloomy. It was dark. It was dismal. And when my testosterone levels were elevated, I felt like I was in my 20s again. And I still feel that way today. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole cool thing about testosterone. Now, I know a couple of you are going to say, hey, sup, Doc, sup from Santa, how about some samples? Like Carl said, you know, this isn't something you can try and see how it tastes. You know, this is a process.
A protocol.
You know,
it's a protocol.
Yeah, within the first 30 days, you will definitely notice a difference. But even with HRT, I mean, it takes some time. So this is something that's going to take you a couple months to actually get your levels back up. And then once you're there, you just maintain them and enjoy life.
There you go. Dr. J, as always, thank you, brother.
Thank you, man. Have a good one, everybody. All right.
Talk to you later.
Next time.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the honeybees. It's not just about the neonicotinoids and the stuff they're spraying on the cornfields and the soy crops. Wait to hear this. Stay tuned.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered 2 more bottles." And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Sonic, wait up!
Welcome back. Yeah, we talk about the honeybees on this show a lot because they are in danger. I know on Casual Friday, Elisa Profumo is always trying to convince people to build a honeybee haven in your backyard by planting certain plants and not using certain types of pesticides and all that sort of good stuff. And we already know, we've talked a lot about the role of neonicotinoids and commercial agriculture and the role that it's playing in really a threat to the honeybee population. My next guest is assistant professor from Ohio State University, and she is Elizabeth Long. And we're going to talk about a recent paper that she was one of the people who published that looked at some other things that may actually be threatening the honeybees. How are you doing, Professor Long?
I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So why this study? Why did you look at this? What questions needed to be answered that you know your group thought, wow, we need to look into this?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I think, you know, like you said, a lot of the attention between pesticides and honeybees and the concerns for honeybee health really focused on the neonicotinoid. So we set up these experiments looking at the types of pollen that honeybees would collect in areas where it's pretty much only corn, only soybeans, which we know are treated with neonicotinoids, often as a seed treatment. So, you know, we really wanted to see, you know, where are the honeybees going? How much of this pollen are they collecting from these crops that are neonicotinoid seed treated?
Okay, so when we talk about other crops, are we talking about the things that people have in their backyards, maybe their own, you know, garden and stuff like that?
Sure, absolutely. I think a lot of the common pesticides that, you know, you or I might buy from Lowe's if you have a home garden. There are many, many of those products that have neonicotinoids. We might use them to water in, for example, to like your cucumbers or squash, things like that. And it's a different type of application of the neonicotinoids, but they're still an important ingredient in the pesticides if you're using them in your garden. And so honeybees could still come into contact with those neonicotinoids used in that way if you use them in your garden.
So talk about the research. How was the research designed, and what did you learn?
Okay, well, like I said, you know, we were focused on looking at the pesticides that honeybees would pick up in, you know, pretty much corn and soybean dominated landscapes, like it's the case in Indiana, which is where the study was done. So we placed two honeybee hives at each of three sites, and one was next to a cornfield that was not treated with insecticides or fungicides. Two hives were placed at in the margin of a cornfield that was treated with neonicotinoids and fungicides. And then our third site was, you know, kind of we tried to find a non-agricultural area that, you know, wasn't adjacent or, you know, close by to a lot of corn and soybeans, hoping that honeybees would be going to other types of plants aside from just, you know, crops. And, you know, I think my co-author and I, we expected to see, you know, neonicotinoids show up in the pollen that the honeybees collected, which was true, but what we were really surprised to find was that even though these honeybees were in areas where corn and soybeans are really common, they were really going to a lot of wild or non-crop plants to collect their pollen, which is really cool because we were able to see, you know, over a period of 16 weeks, these are the plants that honeybees are going to. We kind of, you know, see what the summer is like in the life of a bee. So that was a really cool thing that we learned from the study. But the thing that was maybe most shocking was the number of pesticides that showed up in that pollen, even though they came from non-crop plants. So, and really, you know, the key chemicals we found were pyrethroids. And these are chemicals or pesticides that are often used, you know, in home landscapes and in urban areas to manage other types of pests like fleas, mosquitoes, ticks, those kinds of things.
Right.
So not the type of insecticides you would be applying in agricultural systems.
And this is, you know, so many of us are up in arms about what's happening to the bees. And we point at commercial large-scale agriculture, and we point at companies like Monsanto, and we say, you're killing the bees. But then we go out, and, you know, we hate those pesky ants that get in the house, so we spray our Raid, we spray our spray, you know, oh, well, we got to keep those ants out of the house, and we do all that stuff, and we never realize that we are putting things into the environment that ultimately are going to hurt the fragile ecosystem of honeybees.
Sure.
I mean, that's really what's happening. And I'll take it a step further. So Elisa on Friday's show always talks about gardening, you know, and she said, and she, I've watched her. She goes to great lengths, when she calls nurseries to ask them, Laropia that I'm buying, have they ever been sprayed?
Mm-hmm.
Because what people don't realize is you go to Lowe's or Home Depot and you see, that beautiful hibiscus plant. Oh, that's so beautiful. It looks so pretty out in the backyard. And that thing has already been saturated and sprayed 1,000 times from the time that they were growing it to the time that you bought it. And you put it in your backyard. You don't think anything of it. You're not spraying it anymore. So you're thinking, oh, this is good for the environment. It's already been laden with chemicals.
Sure. You know, and I would mention for sure, a lot of those plants that come out of greenhouses and the nurseries you go, a lot of them have been treated, and there's certainly efforts that have been made on behalf of, you know, the public and even many nurseries, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what has been applied and can we actually say this is a pesticide-free plant, which I think that's great. People should have a right to know. But I would mention that, you know, depending on how they've treated that plant, whether it's a spray or if it's something they've actually poured into the soil, you know, of that plant when it was growing in the greenhouse, I guess the good news is if you bring it into your landscape and you don't continue to treat it that way, if you don't spray it, over time, you know, the presence of those chemicals is going to reduce, you know, to the point where it's not going to have harm for honeybees. And some of the chemicals they apply, you know, they also don't show up in the pollen or nectar. It's just a contact thing.
Right.
So the good news is, you know, as a homeowner, if you buy those plants and you can't figure out if they've been treated or not, the good news is if you bring it, you know, and plant it in your garden or in your in your lawn and you don't continue to spray it a lot,
right.
then the hope is those things will start to diminish and you have a plant that is, you know, healthier, safer, I guess, for the bees.
Well, and I think your paper is very, very timely, and here's why. We see trends around us, and most of us ignore them. So since the emergence of the threat of Zika virus, there is a whole bumper crop of cottage businesses that are reaching out to homeowners and saying, hey, we'll get rid of the mosquitoes around your home.
Mm.
Have you seen this?
I haven't.
I've never seen this before, Professor Long. I've never seen it before. But the Sunday newspaper that I got this weekend had one of those stickers on it that's supposed to be like a pop-up, if you will. And it said, get rid of mosquitoes this summer and enjoy your backyard. And there are companies out there that are marketing services, which are basically, you know, they'll make sure you have no standing water on your property, but the rest of it is all chemical. It's you know, they're going to spray this and spray that. And I have a fear because the class of chemicals that you found in high quantities that have nothing to do with commercial agriculture are the types of things that are sprayed to kill mosquitoes.
Yes.
And I think that these bees, I think bees are, you know, when you got them down, you know, don't back off. Once you got somebody down, you know, that's not the time to back off. You got to go in and finish the job. So I said to Elisa last week, I said, you know, I'm so worried about the bees because I think that this new trend to kill everything mosquito-ish, the bees are going to get hammered into the ground with this now.
It's true. And I think, you know, even for myself, because, I mean, I'm now an entomologist, but historically, you know, that wasn't my interest. So, you know, I'm still learning about insects just like, you know, everyone in the public. And I think we forget that when you have an insecticide, you know, the job of that insecticide is to kill bugs, to kill insects, and bees are insects. And so I think that's something important that, you know, homeowners or people who care about bees and beneficial insects like, you know, predatory insects and things that are good in the garden like lady beetles, that's something important for us to keep in mind. It's obvious, but we kind of don't think about it because you're so focused on the pest. And so, but I agree with you. I have that same concern. And, you know, that's, of course, you know, with the bees, it's not just that those sprays or, you know, whatever treatment they're doing for mosquitoes might contact the bees physically and harm them. But if they get into the water, even if it's for a short period of time, you know, bees go and drink water.
Yes.
And they have to get it from somewhere in the landscape. And so, I agree with you. It is a concern and it's something we just have to think about. You know, it's not just the plant that the bees are coming into contact with chemicals. It's, you know, everywhere else in the landscape, they're flying across the lawn. They're landing on your trees. You know, they're coming to maybe standing water in your lawn to drink, get a little drink. You never know. And so
right.
I too am concerned.
Okay. Here's what I want to do. I want to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk more about this. We're talking, right now about what is happening to the bees that has nothing to do with commercial agriculture. We're talking with Professor Elizabeth Long from Ohio State University. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carb. B-G-U-I-D-E.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent-pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com.
Iron Mag Labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stoned, immaculate.
Welcome back. So, Elisa Profumo needed to correct me when I said I couldn't think of a plant, Professor Long. So I said Laropia. She said Laropia doesn't flower. She said, oh. How about lavender? I was like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But she had to correct me. She said Laropia doesn't flower. That she's not worried about the Laropia. Let's talk about bee pollen for a second. So what kind of chemical load did you find in the residual bee pollen? Is it something significant, or is it something that chemical lovers around the globe who endorse this kind of poisoning of our environment will go, oh, that's so little, it's minuscule, it doesn't matter?
That's a good question. I think with the neonicotinoids, the loads in the pollen were pretty low. Not really something, in my experience and looking across the literature, nothing that we would really be any more worried about than, I guess our study didn't find as, you know, high levels of neonicotinoids in the pollen for honeybees. It's really the pyrethroids like fenethrin and, prolethrin, the two kind of mosquito, tick flea chemicals that were in really high concentration, higher than other studies have found.
Wow.
But with that being said, these are at the level of nanograms per gram of pollen. So nanograms would be like, you know, a number with, you know.
A nanogram is a 1/1,000,000th of a gram, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, very, very small amount. So as for humans, you know, and I'm not a human physiologist. It's not as concerning, perhaps. I say that with a grain of salt.
Well, I know, but you know what? And the reason I asked this for two reasons. Number one, Sure, for humans it's not a big deal because we're pretty big, but bees are small, so nanograms to them could mean something, right?
Exactly. So nanograms per gram in terms of a honeybee, which, you know, eats about 65 milligrams of pollen when it's in the larval stage, it's a big load. It's something that would be concerning for honeybees that were eating pollen that had these levels of pyrethroids. You know, I would expect impacts on colony health. Unfortunately, in our study, we didn't evaluate the health of the colony. So I can't say, you know, we have no way of knowing how the colonies were doing or if there were negative impacts on, say, brood or, you know, the queen. But definitely for a honeybee, for such a small insect that consumes that amount of pollen with the levels we found, it's not good.
No. And so now let me take it a step further, right? So people love to buy and consume bee pollen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very popular supplement amongst the quote-unquote natural movement people. Bee pollen will cure you of your allergies. Bee pollen will reduce inflammation. Bee pollen is a high source of vitamin B. Bee pollen. So I have a good friend, Carlos Cardenas. Wonderful guy, and his family is in the fruit growing business in California, and so he sent me a beautiful bottle of bee pollen a few years ago, and I was consuming it every day. I was taking a teaspoon of it every day. It tastes delicious, by the way. It really, you can't imagine. It tastes like flowers. It tastes if you could imagine eating the way flowers smell. In a garden, if you could imagine putting that scent in a teaspoon and eating it, that's how bee pollen tastes. It's so good. But then I started to think, if the bees are dying off because of all the chemicals that they're consuming, and the way they consume stuff is they gather bee pollen and accumulate it in their hives, is it wise for humans to be eating bee pollen? Even if these pyrethroids are in, you know, nanograms a gram, we don't know what long-term, acute, or even chronic effects of consuming these things is doing. And we also don't know if, you know, this is something that's never discussed, right? We always talk about these chemicals kind of in a vacuum. We don't know if there's advanced transportation across the gut lining because of the uniqueness of bee pollen that gets more of it into your blood than if you were just licking a plant. You know what I mean? It's like, we don't know. And then I said, you know what? I'm not taking bee pollen anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I've never eaten bee pollen. I guess I feel very similarly to you that after these results, I wouldn't feel real good about eating it.
Right.
But I will say, you know, something that I, in my experience, and again, with other research that's been done, you know, we don't really know a whole lot about how the level of these chemicals changes in pollen over time. So, you know, these bees are collecting pollen and storing it in the hive. You know, in some cases, they're mixing it for bee bread. In some cases, you know, they're changing the concentration of water and, you know, and so those kinds of things, which are all manipulated by the bees, which I think is really fascinating. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was possible that some of those, the levels of chemicals or something about the quality of those chemicals changes, you know, over time as, as the pollen is stored and utilized and mixed with different bee products. So,
like what kind of bee products are you talking about?
So things like honey, I guess those would be the key things people are interested in, honey and the actual pollen.
Right.
And so, you know, when the bees bring them in, different, you know, members of the cast. So for example, a little bee larva, a little baby bee, they feed on, you know, bee bread. It's not directly pollen that they're fed. And so the bees that are feeding the babies, if you will, you know, they mix that pollen with, nectar and, you know, a little bit of water. They basically make a mixture to feed the offspring. And then, you know, the foraging bees that are actually going out and collecting the pollen, they are not the ones that eat the pollen. They are really more nectar feeders. So it's kind of it's very interesting and something that I've learned a lot more about. I'm not a bee person, you know, bee biologist by training, but it's really interesting. So I guess my comment is just that as they manipulate the things that they're bringing back to the hive, nectar and, you know, pollen and mixing it and using it, you know, to feed different members of the colony, that has the potential, I think, to change, what the concentrations of some of these chemicals are, of what they are in the pollen when they bring it in.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense? And so,
yeah.
It's possible that it could be, you know, very, very similar after some storage time, or it could be really different. That's not something that I know about. And
right.
I don't think anyone's really done that type of work.
Was there anything that was really surprising to you, other than the level of pyrethroids outpacing neonics? Mm-hmm. Was there anything that really surprised you in this study where you kind of went, wow, I did not expect to see that?
Mm-hmm. I was just really surprised by the diversity of flowers that these bees go to. And, you know, obviously, if you think about it, it makes sense throughout the season. You know, different flowers are blooming in May and June and July and August and September, obviously. But it's really interesting that even though these bees were in different locations, generally speaking, there's a good overlap in terms of the flowers they go to. So regardless of where they were placed, you know, next to a cornfield or in a meadow, you know, they are honing in on the plants that are flowering at that time and the plants that are of the best nutritional value for them. And so I thought that was fascinating to see all these different colors of pollen coming in. And you know, once we were able to get some of the plants down to species, but it's just incredible. You know, they go to willow trees and collect pollen. They're going to, you know, goldenrod to collect pollen. They're going to apple trees, of course. And so it's really interesting for me just to kind of see, like, I imagine this bee flying, you know, over a period of 16 weeks. These are the plants it's going to. I thought that was really, really fascinating.
Almost like when you go to a grocery store, right? You know, you go
exactly,
here, you go.
Exactly.
It's like they when they go out into nature, they're going to the grocery store. They need a little of this, a little of that, and they actually instinctively know what to get. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Elisa wants to know, what about beeswax? People buy beeswax candles. Is there any threat of the beeswax? And how the hell do they make beeswax, by the way? I don't even know how that, but is there any threat of the beeswax accumulating any of these chemicals?
So I know that there's been some work, using, you know, actual, like, going to apiaries and testing their honeybee hives for chemicals in, like, you know, and by chemicals, I mean pesticides in wax, and there, it has shown up. So I can't remember off the top of my head what those levels are, but, you know, you can find residues of pesticides in the beeswax. And that's perhaps not surprising because beeswax, they're a certain group of bees, as they kind of go through their life cycle, they produce the wax. They actually exude it, or they have wax-producing glands. And so the bees produce the wax. You know, there are certain individuals in the colony at a certain time in their life cycle that they are producing it.
Oh.
So that's all I can say.
Oh, no, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. What do you hope people take away from this research? You know, obviously, there's the non-believers out there who support all things chemical, and they say, you know, this is nonsense, neonics are nonsense, the bees are dying for some other reason. And then there's people out there who we feel like, hey, look, you know, we need to pay attention to what's going on here. So what would you say to both of those groups? These are very, very different groups.
Sure. I think I would say that, I mean, realistically, pesticides have a purpose. They're important in a lot of systems. And, you know, it's a fine line between, I guess, you know, people who want to support chemicals, but also people who want to support, for example, genetically modified organisms, which might reduce the need for chemicals. So it's,
right.
There is no silver bullet, I guess I would say. But in general, I hope this work, if nothing else, will allow people to see that as human beings, we are living in an environment that is just inundated with chemicals.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether you're looking at a crop plant, in an agricultural field, you know, if you're looking in a wooded area, if you're looking in your lawn, you know, all these, you know, we are using chemicals everywhere. And I think we don't think about necessarily what we're spraying all the time and also how much we spray or how much we irrigate, you know, chemicals into our landscape or our gardens or our, you know, ag fields. And so I hope that's the that's really the message, at least that resonates with me, is, wow, you know, we're using these bees as an example because they're going places and collecting pollen and bringing it back. They're really a way for us to see how far around us in the landscape these chemicals are present, you know, and even if they are just at small doses here and there, and sometimes at high doses at other times, they're always there. And it's not just one or two chemicals. It's a lot, you know, we consistently found, you know, up to 32 pesticides, just over a 16-week period. And so I hope that's the message people get that,
wow,
you know, if they have to, if they feel they absolutely have to use a pesticide, please use it judiciously, you know, and try to use a chemical that, you know, I guess is well, I guess that requires some kind of expertise, but you know, just if you're going to use a chemical, you don't have to use it all the time and every time you see a single insect.
I know, you know, see, people see a bug and they go and get a spray can of some insecticide that has like a 40-foot stream. It's putting out like 400 milliliters a second, and they'll just like, they'll just bathe the ground and the bug and everything around it. You know, it's like, that's like overkill. You don't need that much, first of all. And second of all, I'm somebody who doesn't, it's not that I don't dislike bugs, but I don't mind bugs. And in fact, Elisa gets mad at me because I hate to kill spiders, because I feel like, look, if you don't like bugs, leave the spiders live in your house, because the spiders will catch all the bugs and eat them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, use the bugs to your advantage, right? You know, you're into entomology. You know, like some bugs kill other bugs. Those are good bugs. Right. So let's use them to get rid of the pests, quote unquote. But I don't mind bugs. And in fact, I know this is going to sound stupid. You know, I'm 240 pound, you know, quasi weightlifter kind of guy. But I carry bugs outside and turn them loose. I don't kill them anymore because, and it's not because I'm like some spiritual, you know, I've become enlightened. I just feel like, you know what? This bug has got a short life. Maybe he's going to last this winter. The winter comes, he's gone. Let me throw him outside. He belongs outside. And that's the other thing. If you're spraying pesticides outside, you're in their environment.
Sure.
I can see you killing stuff in your house. But leave them alone outside. Don't complain about, oh, you know, there's so many bugs by the picnic table. Well, guess what? Bring the picnic table in your basement then if you don't want the bugs around it.
Sure.
You know, if you want to be in their world and you don't want them to occupy it, you're the visitor.
Right. So, yeah, and I think this is a great example of how insects just kind of have a bad rap. I mean, there's certainly a lot of bugs that we don't want to get stung or bit by, but generally speaking, it's not like they're out to get us, you know, and a few bugs here or there, it's okay, but I guess it's just tolerance, you know. Some people just have this irrational fear, you know, and others just, you know, there's so many different types of insects. You see something that looks weird or, you know, brightly colored, or you're like, I don't know what that is, I have to get rid of it.
Yeah, anything that's got lots of legs, people freak out, right? If it's got lots
exactly.
of, like, it can even, like a spider is getting to that point, it's like, oh my God, it's got 8 legs.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and then we have these bugs, they're long and they've got a row of legs down each side of its body.
Mm-hmm.
And those just like, ooh, it's like people just get like the hair on the back of their neck stands up. It's got to be some evolutionary trigger. I got to be honest with you, but
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's got to be that they had to do something to us 4 million years ago that we're pissed off at them still. But, Elisa wants to know, what about organic products like neem oil? So Elisa uses neem oil to get the beetles off of the rose bushes because it's quote unquote not a chemical pesticide, but is it still harmful to everything else out there?
That's a good question. I mean, certainly less harmful. I mean, a lot of these botanical chemicals, or botanically derived, insecticides or pesticides, can be pretty toxic, but, you know, I guess they're not as toxic, I guess I would say, as, you know, these synthetic chemicals that we have. And so the nice thing is those, like neem oil, for example, is naturally derived. It's going to break down naturally.
Right.
But, I mean, again, it has to do with dose. So, I mean, you could have a naturally derived chemical, and if you use a high enough dose or, you know, amount of it at once, it could be really toxic. I know about neem oil, but I haven't.
But I have to believe what you said is accurate. So one of my big concerns about things like glyphosate, right? They keep telling us that glyphosate has a very, very short half-life. I love that term, half-life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, they have a glyphosate that's a 365. You spray it once a year. That's hardly a short half-life, in my opinion. And if anything, the metabolites of glyphosate, no one's paying attention to. Those may be the most damning, as we're finding out from all these poor workers in South America who are losing their kidneys, where they grow sugarcane. And they're determining now it's not necessarily the glyphosate itself, but it's the metabolite that glyphosate converts to. You know, I have to believe neem oil breaks down somewhat faster, and it breaks down into some innocuous organic components as opposed to these chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my own uneducated guess at it. look, I think this is great research, and I think this is really an important study, and I'll tell you why. We've all gotten the message, and everybody's on the bandwagon about stop killing the bees, and we love to yell at Monsanto and all these other companies, and we love to point at agricultural concerns and say, look, you're killing the bees. And now all of a sudden, wait a minute, I may be killing the bees too when I go crazy with my raid outside because a trail of ants is leading up to the corner of my house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think twice before you unleash these poisons. And you're right. I have a book from the late 1800s called Fortunes in Formulas. This is around the time where we as a civilization started to not only embrace chemistry, but we thought it was going to be the answer to everything. And since then, the planet has become overloaded with chemicals that have deleterious effects on health, health of humans, health of plants, health of bugs, health of animals. And it's going to be 100, 200, 300 years if we stop. You know, people always talking about, oh, we have to stop now in order for global warming. Hey, we have to stop poisoning the planet in order for the people 300 years from now not be affected by the chemical overload that we live in today, this invisible overload we live in today. So I think this is a great message. I applaud your group for producing this study.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you so much for being on the show today.
Sure. I was really happy to be part of it. Thank you.
Cool. Tell your friends about us.
I will.
Okay. Take care. All right. We're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to give you guys an update on what's going on with my tricep repair injury, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not in a funk anymore. I'm not leaving Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, livonlabs.com.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Nobel Prize-winning research shows telomeres are an important part of preventing cellular aging. Slowing down telomere shortenings promotes healthy cell replication and longevity. This is simple, folks. Supplement today with the longevity breakthrough of the century, Telos 95. Telos 95 provides the only scientifically validated telomere support ingredient in every capsule. Save 15% off when you use the code TELOS95. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Telos 95
95 banner ad. Age better with Telos 95, the cutting-edge technology that's a leap forward in the science of aging with research that was conducted by world experts on telomere analysis using worldwide patented technology.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. So, the messages and emails continue to come in after my revealing how much of a funk I was in and whether or not I would actually be able to be able to continue on doing the show. And, you know, I was at a real low point. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I was depressed. But I got to tell you, I'm coming out of this funk. So I've been training with regularity and I'm not overdoing it. But I'm definitely training as hard as I can, training legs and training everything but my left arm. That's really what I'm doing. And yesterday I actually did leg presses, and I went up to 10 plates on each side just as a test. And I did 8 reps. It was very easy for my legs, but what I didn't account for was when I do leg presses, I grab the seat that I'm sitting on with my left and right hand and pull my ass down into the seat so I don't roll my hips forward, because that's bad for your spine if you allow your butt to come out of the seat as you bring the platform down towards you. You're rolling your hips, you're rolling your pelvis, and you're actually going in the opposite direction of the natural curve of the lumbar spine. And you're actually causing compression. And we all know I already have spinal compression, so I don't want to do anything stupid. So when I do leg presses, I grab that seat and pull my butt down. And obviously, the heavier you go with leg presses, and those of you who leg press heavy know, when you bring the weight down, the weight wants to literally push you out of the seat a little bit. You know, so I use this approach to keep my butt planted in the seat. And I went 10 plates on each side. And like I said, it was easy for my legs. But what I did notice was after the 8th rep, and I put the guides back in place to keep it locked up, and I got out of it, I felt almost a cramping in my left tricep. And that's because when I'm pulling down like that, I'm locking my elbows. And in order to lock my elbows, both my biceps and triceps are in a static position. They're tensed in a static position. And so I thought, oh, that's a stupid thing. So I won't be going heavy on leg presses at this point in time for any reason at all, at least not for the next month or two. What else did I do? So I did some hammer row, unilateral hammer row where you sit in it, and you have the two handles in front of you, and you pull them back towards you. And I do those standing, by the way. If you have one of those machines, don't sit. You want to see how much weaker you are. When you're sitting and you're using your lower back to perform that row, it's a totally different movement than when you're standing. And you just stand with your legs to either side of the seat. But when you're standing, you have no lower back strength in that movement. It's all upper back. Try that sometime. If you have one of those hammer strength machines where you sit in it and you grab the handles in front of you and you pull them towards you, it's plate loaded on each side. Try standing and doing that and tell me how that feels. It's a totally different movement. But anyway, I did put just one 45-pound plate on the left side. And, I mean, obviously provided very little resistance. And I just did a little pull for my rib delt and my back. And I made sure to keep my tricep as relaxed as possible. That didn't really do anything harmful to me. That was fine. But I've been training my legs. I've been training every day. Not training very hard. Definitely bumped up my cardio, doing a lot more cardio. I've been doing sprints on the elliptical machine. Because I still have this left foot that's giving me some trouble, so I'm not ready to do it on a treadmill, but I've been doing it on the elliptical machine. We also bought a new bike, actually a used one, that played against sports, because our old bike kind of gave up the ghost. So I have a new bike at home that I've been using, and I've been doing some HIIT on that. And I got to tell you, I feel like I'm sleeping better. I feel like I'm coming back around. I really do. I feel good. I feel very optimistic about the future. I feel optimistic about each day, and I feel good. But I want to thank everybody. I still get emails from people to this day because some people are that far behind on listening to shows who have heard me say, you know, how much of a funk I'm in and all that sort of stuff. And it really, really is, it's very, very touching. It's just really, really touching because It's hard to know if you're doing a good job when you don't get a lot of feedback. And the feedback from people is that they feel there's a great value to the show, and I appreciate that. So, yeah, I'm doing good, and I'm happy, and I'm getting strong again, and I will be back to normal. I feel very confident that it'll probably take me a few months for my tricep to come back to a point where I can actually put some real loads on it. But I will be able to do that, and I'm happy about that. So, again, thank you to everybody out there who sent me such kind words and words of encouragement via email and Facebook message and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, let's thank Dr. Jeff Galini for the first half of today's show. If you want to reach out to him for that book, 20 Ways to Raise Testosterone Naturally, go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ask the Scientist banner ad and ask him for that. Also, ask him for some free stuff. Say, hey, I heard you send free supplements. I heard you're a supplement Santa. And then, of course, thanks to Professor Long for coming on and talking about this important discussion about how we are hurting the honeybees ourselves. It's not about the commercial agriculture industry. It's about those of us who spray pesticides around our homes to get rid of those pesky, annoying ants and mosquitoes and stuff like that. So be cautious. Think about who you're hurting unintentionally when you're trying to kill that bug. And we'll see you about it tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.